So in Matthew 13, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what parables, to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown.
Now, as Brian said, this is the start of a new series in Matthew chapter 13. And the issue for us, these four Wednesday lunchtimes in Matthew 13, is how does God's kingdom grow? In Matthew 13, we have eight of Jesus' parables, and they're all about the growth of God's kingdom. When Jesus talks about the growth of his kingdom, he's talking about the advance of his rule in people's hearts and lives. As people hear the message of Jesus in the Bible, as they turn to Jesus, and as they follow him. And these parables assure us that Jesus' kingdom will grow, and that it will grow staggeringly, and out of all proportion with the way in which it started. But they also show us that God's kingdom won't always look as if it's growing, and that growth will not always be the kind of growth that we might expect. Because if we had to read Matthew's gospel up to this point, we'd see that actually there had been really a kind of a variety of responses to Jesus, and especially so in the previous section. I put, you'll see there if you turn to the outline just after the reading, I put Matthew 11 verse 12 on the outline, which is a summary really of the previous two chapters, chapters 11 and 12. As Jesus says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. So yes, Jesus' kingdom has been advancing forcefully, with great success, as people have turned to follow him. But his kingdom has also been opposed forcefully as well. And so these parables in chapter 13 are here to explain Jesus' strategy for the growth of his kingdom. What will it look like as Jesus' kingdom grows? You see, for those of us here at this Wednesday lunchtime, and I imagine there are a number of us who are just kind of looking in, so to speak, on the claims of Jesus Christ. And it can often look, can't it, as if God's kingdom is very unimpressive. You know, turn to your papers, what are the big stories? Flights being resumed, more stuff on the election, endless kind of gossip. And those are the big stories which dominate the headlines. In contrast, God's kingdom can seem rather unimpressive, powerless. Any headlines that God's kingdom gets are usually extremely unfavourable. But Jesus wants us to know that actually a vote for him will not be wasted. In other words, if we were to turn and put our trust in Jesus and enter his kingdom, our vote, so to speak, wouldn't be wasted. Indeed, to follow Jesus is to be on the winning side. Well, for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ already, well, I take it we long to see growth in God's kingdom for men and women to trust in Jesus and to follow him. Here in Moorgate, at the start of these new talks, as well as in our communities where we live at home. And Matthew 13 is here to encourage us that Jesus' kingdom is growing, but also to help us to understand what the growth of his kingdom looks like, so that we don't give up seeking to grow and extend his kingdom. Well, today we're looking at the parable of the sower. I'm glad the parable's been printed for us so that we can follow it. You'll see on the outline there are two simple headings. First of all, God's kingdom advances as God's word is taught. God's kingdom advances as God's word is taught. Now you'll see Jesus tells the parable in verses 1 to 9. He then explains it in verses 18 to 23. So just imagine the scene. Here is Freddy the farmer. He gets up early in the morning and he goes to work on his farm. He lives in the Middle East in the first century. He doesn't have a tractor. So here he is laboriously walking up and down his field, sowing seed by hand. It's a bit of a hit and miss affair. It's hard work. It is labour intensive. It looks pretty unimpressive. But nonetheless, that is the picture Jesus uses to explain how his kingdom grows and advances. And will you notice that at the very heart of the parable is the message of the kingdom, the word of the king, of King Jesus, verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom, you see, here is Jesus the preacher at scattering the words. The point being that the kingdom advances as God's word is taught. You see, at the heart of this parable is the issue of strategy. Now, I take it that the idea of having a clearly defined business strategy is familiar to us in the city, just as the politicians have their strategies for trying to win seats in the election, even if their strategies have been thrown in the last 6 days or so. So what strategy will Jesus use to advance his kingdom? Well, it is sowing the word, teaching the message of the kingdom. Indeed, one of the things that Matthew deliberately shows us as he organises his gospel, his eyewitness account of Jesus' life, is he deliberately shows us that Jesus is a teacher. He gives us major, clearly defined teaching sections in his gospel. I put them there on the outline. the major teaching blocks are there in chapters 5 to 7, 9 to 11, chapter 13 here, 18 and 19, 23 to 26. So you see, Matthew structures his gospel to show us Jesus is a teacher, sowing the word, if you like, of his kingdom, because God's kingdom advances as his word is taught. And this picture here of the sow would have been a very, very familiar picture to Jesus' first century hearers. They knew the joys of farming, they knew the frustrations of farming. These four types of soil with their different responses are perfectly normal, and they are all to be expected. And the point is the variety of responses. Although at first sight, it may well be the harvest looks a bit disappointing, nonetheless, by the end, there is a huge crop, a bumper harvest. So, yes, there will be those in verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. So here are those who hear God's word, but immediately it is snatched away. So, yeah, perhaps a colleague came to one of the Passion for Life events or comes along to a talk here. They heard the message of Jesus, but actually it's made no impact whatsoever. Even before they left their building, their mind's on the markets or the next deal, or there's hundreds of emails that they need to reply to before 3 o'clock. And then there are those in verses 20 and 21. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Here's the person who receives the word with joy. It looks as if they've begun to follow Jesus, they've begun the Christian life. But they haven't counted the cost. And so tragically, when opposition comes along, when persecution comes along, then they are quick to drift away and to fall away, just as they were quick in the first place to seem to follow. And again, many of us will know people like that. And then there are those in verse 22. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. They hear the message of Jesus, but life just has too many other commitments. There's the pressure of work, social life, family life, ambition, busyness. There are just never enough hours in the day to do everything. And so despite all their no doubt good intentions, they never really get round to doing serious business with Jesus. And of course, the deceitfulness of wealth deludes them into thinking that actually they have no need for Jesus and what he offers. And again, many of us will know people like that. You see, the point is that it will often look as if Jesus' strategy for growing his kingdom is not working. I wonder if you ever feel like that, that perhaps Jesus needs to change his strategy or hire Saatchi and Saatchi to kind of improve his image and to help him to get his message out. It's very easy, isn't it, to think like that? And sadly, there are many Christian churches and organisations up and down the country which have lost confidence in the fact that the way God's kingdom advances is as God's word is taught. Instead, they place their confidence in other things, perhaps the quality of their music or their communication techniques or the latest church growth strategy, or they jump on the next leadership bandwagon or whatever it is. But Jesus tells us it is as his word, the Bible, is taught that his kingdom grows and advances. And it'd be very easy, wouldn't it, for us as individuals to lose confidence in Jesus' strategy. You know, perhaps a colleague comes along to one of these talks. The gospel seems to make little impact. The seed is snatched away. Or they're distracted. life is just too full of other commitments. They're busy with other things. And it's in that context of often apparently little impact that verse 23 comes as the most terrific encouragement. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Yes, God's kingdom will advance. There will be a great harvest, countless numbers from every nation and culture, a bumper crop, despite hard hearts, despite opposition, despite people being distracted. Why? Because God's word is powerful. Just think for a moment of the growth of God's kingdom in China. One former Beijing correspondent of Time magazine describes it as one of the wonders of the modern world. In 1947, the Communist Party came to power, and within a few years, all foreign Christian workers and missionaries were forced to leave. It was estimated then, in the early 1950s, that there were something like 500,000 Christians in China. And it was quite assumed that the church would die, that God's kingdom in China would be no more. Yet today, it is estimated there are something like 90 million Christians in China. There could be far more than that, because many of them are in underground churches. It's estimated that if the current growth rate were to continue, then China would be 20 to 30% Christian by 2030. Now that is staggering, but it is an illustration of the power of the sower, that God's word is powerful. Well, what is the application of this first point for us? I put it there on the outline. Be confident. Be confident that God's kingdom advances and grows as God's word is taught. When God's word is rejected, we mustn't assume that it's powerless. We mustn't assume that God isn't at work. Jesus assures us there will be sure, steady, certain progress. Yes, there will be disappointments, but the fruitfulness outweighs all of them. It's a parable. Those who were involved at St. Botolph's before these talks started, it's a parable that shapes all we do at St. Botolph's. We have a lunchtime talk similar to this on Tuesday lunchtimes. We run courses like Christianity Explored. We run midweek Bible studies. Everything we do focused around God's word, teaching the message of Jesus. Or think about these talks at Moorgate. You see, how is God's kingdom going to grow and be extended here at Moorgate? Well, it's as God's word is proclaimed. Yes, there will be mixed responses, but there will be a great harvest. Now, I'm very conscious that begs the question, doesn't it? Well, if God's word is powerful, why doesn't everyone who hears the message of Jesus follow him? Well, that brings us on to our second point, that God's kingdom advances as people come hungrily to learn from God's word. I wonder if you noticed when Brian read the passage that in verse 10 there's a change of scene, as Jesus no longer speaks to the crowd as a whole, but rather he turns to speak to his disciples as they ask in verse 10, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And Jesus' reply is enormously surprising. Have a look at it, verse 11. "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." Now, isn't that a surprising thing? I wonder if, like me, you were sort of taught at school that Jesus taught in parables because they are simple stories for simple people to understand. But no, Jesus says he speaks in parables for a very different reason. They act as a filter mechanism They are designed to deliberately limit the benefits of Christian faith to those who will humbly come and learn from Jesus. They are designed to filter out those who will not do that. Let's have a look at that in a little bit more detail. You see, look at verse 9, and Jesus' invitation is to everyone, isn't it? He who has ears, let him hear. But then it's only those who, like the disciples in verse 10, come to Jesus and want to learn from him who come to understand. It's to them that Jesus says, verse 11, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. In other words, says Jesus, there's a very clear spiritual principle we need to grasp. It's there in verse 12. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Now, this is not a verse about material riches, but rather a verse about spiritual understanding. And there's both an encouragement, isn't there? And there's a warning. So the encouragement, if you're here this lunchtime and you want to understand more about Jesus and his kingdom, then if you hungrily come to learn from Jesus in the Bible, then he will grant it to you and give it to you. But there's also a warning, isn't there? If you won't listen, then any spiritual understanding that you do have will be taken away from you. Jesus' parables act as a sifting device. Or to change the metaphor, rather like a pair of sort of, you know, those automatic sliding doors you get at the supermarket. So, you know, you can be walking down the pavement, you have no intention of going into Tesco's or wherever it is, as you're headed on your way elsewhere, and the doors stay closed, don't they? But actually, as soon as you head towards those doors, why, they automatically open for you and let you in. And Jesus is saying a very similar principle operates on a spiritual level. His parables act as a sifting device to filter out those who will hungrily come to learn from him from those who won't. You see, God's kingdom is not a sort of parliamentary democracy where power rests with the people. No, power rests with the king, with King Jesus. Which means, of course, that inevitably it's our attitude to Jesus that determines whether we are in his kingdom or out of his kingdom. Now, I'm conscious that there will be some of us here this lunchtime for whom actually that is a very hard thing to hear. But can we see these are Jesus' words and not my words? In which case, I guess the key issue to be thinking about is, well, who is Jesus? Is he God himself who speaks with absolute authority, even if I don't like what he says, or not? And then Jesus goes on in verse 13 to warn the spiritually dull who won't come to learn from him. Can you see that, verse 13? This is why I speak to them in parables. Those seeing, they do not see. They're hearing, they do not hear or understand. You see, it's perfectly possible to come to a talk like this or to do a Christianity Explore course to see, but not to see. To hear, but not to hear, and not to understand. Indeed, says Jesus, it's been like that throughout history. In verses 14 and 15, he quotes from the prophet Isaiah 800 years previously. And Isaiah was given the job of preaching to and teaching people who had said no to God in their hearts over and over again. And the inevitable result of preaching to hard hearts is that they do not want to hear. Verse 14, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. It's a warning, you see, about the danger of listening to Jesus. Listening the Bible, actually doing nothing about it. And I guess sadly, many of us will know people like that. There may be one or two here this lunchtime. Actually, we're in danger, if we're honest with ourselves, of doing just that. But notice verses 16 and 17, the promise for those who will hungrily come to learn from God's word. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. So then, what is the application of this second point? Well, the application of our first point was be confident. The application of this second point, surely, is be careful. We are to be careful how we hear, how we listen to the words of Jesus, because God's word is divisive. We see it, don't we? Every time the message of Jesus is explained, some will reject it, others will accept it. You see, there's a real challenge, isn't there, for all of us in this parable. What sort of person are we? You know, are we like the person in verse 19 who hears God's word, listens to the message of Jesus, but actually immediately they're on the next thing? You know, the bit of shopping they need to do, or planning the next holiday, or the emails, or whatever it is. Why are you like the person in verses 20 and 21? You begin to follow Jesus to start with, it was wonderful. The best thing going. But actually, you hadn't counted the cost. And you began to find that actually you were no longer part of the in crowd at work now that you were following Jesus. Some of your friends just began to keep their distance. And now actually you're in danger just of drifting away. Why are you like those in verse 22? They're distracted. You hear the message of Jesus. At one level, you're full of good intentions. But life just has too many other commitments. You never get round to do anything about it. Or are you verse 23? You see, let's just pause for a moment, shall we, on verse 23. What is it that's different about this verse 23 person? Like the others, they hear the word. But unlike them, they understand it. By which Jesus means they grasp it. They are changed by it. Which means, of course, that every time you and I hear a talk from the Bible like this, or go to a Bible study, or read the Bible on our own, every time we do that, a response of some kind is demanded. If there's no response, I take it we are like those in verse 14, and our eyes will grow heavy of hearing, of seeing, and we won't be able to hear. But if there is a response, so that we understand it, digest it, and it affects our lives, then here in this parable there is the promise of the most wonderful harvest and of great fruit. Now, I guess, as I close, the danger for many of us, perhaps, is that we become professional sermon tasters. It's easy, isn't it, after a talk to kind of say something like, he was on good form, speaking of the speaker, by which we mean I enjoyed it. Or I didn't like his illustrations or his jokes, or I wish they were different jokes, or more jokes, or less jokes, or whatever it was. It's very easy, isn't it, to respond at kind of that kind of level, the kind of packaging kind of level, rather than actually to respond at the level of the truth that we hear from God's word. To respond at the packaging level is the route to hard-heartedness. Instead, let's make sure we listen carefully and be confident about the growth of God's kingdom. Well, why don't I lead us in prayer? Let's pray together. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Heavenly Father, thank you for the great confidence this parable gives us in the advance of your kingdom. We pray that we would be those who are absolutely convinced that your kingdom does advance as your word is taught. And we pray that you would help us to be careful hearers, not simply hearing, but understanding and being transformed by what we hear. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.